Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 548. Today is, it's March 20th, 2024. I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
And I'm one of your hosts, Adriel, that updated the date.
Yeah. It didn't look right to me, but no, it is correct. The 20th. Yep.
That's where we're at right now.
Yep. And everyone else is just gallivanting.
I thought that like Kelly was gonna be on tonight, so I thought I'd wear like my good shirt,
but
she's not here for the gun show.
disappointing
yeah. But in any case, soldier on.
And we'll get into what we did in guns, and Adriel, why don't you kick us off?
Sure, yeah. I did some stuff. I went to a 3-gun build day and shooting range visit. I had my nephew at my place, so I took him and my son, and we both went to the range. I made them work. They're teenage boys. They could lift. They got to lift some steel. I'm like, yeah, you guys put in the work.
Nice.
The next day, they're like, I'm so sore. Good. so we did that. That was fun. Yeah. There was actually a lot of people. We had a lot of people show up for the range and cleanup day, which is great. Made for light work, because we had so many people working. It just, we got everything done that we wanted to get done, pretty quick time. I took my WSMCR on the range, and this is after I put in the new guide rod, and it seemed to work a lot better. And I got one shot off and it stopped working. And it wouldn't want to go into battery. And I was like, still broken. And I mean, it would go into battery if you like slammed it hard enough, but you'd fire again and the bolt wouldn't quite be in battery. And I was like, what is causing this? This is so weird. I got it home. I just decided to take the whole damn thing apart. And once I did, I found the issue pretty quickly. And that was my my gas piston. It was an S shaped. I straightened this one through some caveman logic, but it's still not straight enough, so it's not going to work. So good, I guess I found another one. That's one thing that happens on these 180s, the WSMCR and the WK 180, is the pistons snap or break right there, or there, just somewhere in here. Mine bent and became unshootable. But some of them, the ones I've seen have been broken, right? I haven't seen them like been like that, but yeah, that happens too. That is one of the reasons why I'm glad I've ordered a rifle that doesn't have a piston. Mm-hmm. So I don't deal with these issues when it comes up, comes in, who knows, but we'll see. So I ordered one of these and I ordered a couple of recoil springs from Kodiak. And I'll put those in. Hopefully the Kodiak and the WSMCR piston work on each other. I think they do. I checked on True North Arms and it seemed to say that they did, but I don't know. Hopefully.
So is that like just a Gen 2 piston then? Because I didn't recall the piston from Gen 1 was a little bit different than what you showed there, I think.
This is Gen 1. Gen 2 is thicker. It's got a thicker back on there.
Okay.
Hopefully they're the same, because I don't want to have to get like the other stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess that'll do it. I got my the Savage 99 right here. Took that out. It was great. It cycles so smoothly, way smoother than like a Winchester 94 or 336. There's a little bit less going on in there, and Ran smooth. I fired like 5 rounds through it, and I was like, yeah, it runs, and it's got iron sights, and it's shooting the things I'm aiming at, which was dirt, and that's all I'm going to do. So, got that review coming up. I also shot the tiny little straight pull gun right there.
Yeah.
Shot okay. It needs to be like really firmly slammed forward into battery. Hopefully that issue is a little bit easier on when I get my 300 blackout barrel for it, which I should get, I don't know, in April or May or something like that. Got a buddy of mine to pick it up from Red Deer Shooting Center. So now I just got to cross paths with him, and I will be building up my teeny tiny hunting rifle. Nice. Teeny tiny little guy.
It's nice. Blocked out.
It'll be like a close range only kind of a rifle. Very close range only. Yeah. AKA like reach out and touch them kind of a thing. With your finger, not with like a gun.
Yeah, I imagine that'll be lobbing a bit.
It'll be lobbing a bit. I'm using the 110. I'm going to use the 110 grain bullets in it, so they'll be a little bit faster. But it's still like, it's not going to get a ton of 300 blackout's actually pretty good in a short barrel. It doesn't need a lot of barrel to get some decent speed, but it's still not a very long barrel, and it's still not a lot of power to begin with. So it's going to be a close range kind of a rifle anyways. Like from a tree stand, 50 yards. That'll be fine. Right.
Perfect. Yep.
Yep. I had my kid shooting the Jericho because right now he shoots the Glock 34. My older boy shoots the Glock 34 at three gun, but I wanted him to shoot a gun that I can put in my belt and use the mags from. As backup. So I'm trying to convince him to use the Jericho. So we brought the Jericho out. He was shooting at 50 meters, the steel IPSC size steel plates, and hammering them. So I think I convinced him. It's got a better trigger pull than the Glock, a bit heavier. So I think I convinced him on that. So now I got to redo his belt for those magazines. That was the range visit. I went to Princess Auto to get some like tire rack things, and I ran into a listener and a follower, Brian. He also went to a Maple Seed as well. I was buying like a tire rack, and he's like, "Oh, you're buying a tire rack?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I got one of those in my shed. I've been sitting on it for like 2 years. It's better than that one. You want to buy that one for less?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." So I put that one back and went over to his place and bought a tire rack off of him.
Nice.
Just kind of fun. What else I do? I've been continuing to print lots of stuff. I've been getting a lot of people emailing me saying like, "Oh, now that I know someone who 3D prints, can you do one of these or can you build one of these?" And one of the more interesting ones was another firearms instructor was like, "Hey, could you print a barrel, the inside of a barrel with a cutaway on it that would show the difference between like a 2¾-inch chamber and a 3-inch chamber and the forcing cone and let you put the 20 gauge in there and cutaway so you can see all of the stuff inside." I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So printed up V1 yesterday. The sizes didn't print properly. So I am reprinting it as we speak, but like that's just one of four custom jobs that my kid's working on right now. He designed it all. With my input on specs and numbers and all that kind of stuff, the final version, I think we're going to do a double barrel. So it's like one barrel is going to be 2¾. The other one's going to be 3-inch, chamber. Okay. Yeah. Just to kind of have a visual to show people, you know, what the chamber's like on those.
Yeah.
I also printed an AR, bolt head receiver cover for like your hitch on the back of your vehicle.
Yeah. How long did that take?
12 hours, something like that.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Yeah. Part one was like 7 and part two was like 4 or 5. And yeah, got it on there. Also, that was someone else who's like, "Hey, you should print one of these." I'm like, "I should." I'm going to keep one for myself. But yeah, I'll keep the crappy prototype and he'll get the second version that's a little bit better. And then this weekend, oh man. So this PAL course this weekend, I'm like, "Oh man, there's only like 5 people that are signed up for this thing until this week. Now it's full." All these people like, "You got one this weekend. You got this one this weekend." It's like, boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden it's like, okay, now it's full, I guess, which was, it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I think my April 6th one is full and my April 20th one isn't. And my first RPAL one's full now too. And that's in June. Maybe I gotta see about getting another RPAL one open. Anyways, yeah. Things are definitely going well there. My map listing, if you search for like PAL courses Edmonton, my map listing is starting to show up like higher. So I'm starting to get people who are just haven't heard of me from Sherwood Park or anything like that, or just randomly calling or emailing or whatever, asking to get into a course.
Nice.
Yeah. So things are going well there. I'm really going to have to, well, my new piston and recoil springs should be here in like a day or so. And that's what I need to get my WSMCR back up and running. Cause otherwise, geez, I don't know what I would run in a match right now. Maybe 22, maybe PCC. I would get my Ruger PC carbine. That's my PAL kit. Stick a firing pin in it, tear the disabled sticker off of it and get it rolling again.
You were supposed to get the high point going for that.
Okay, so I looked at it. I'm like, oh, it's a firing pin. I got to cut the firing pin on it, but then it'll still work. Okay, no problem. I'll just cut the firing pin. The firing pin is also the ejector.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Firing pin's the ejector. It uses the firing pin as the ejector. So it uses it to fire, and it also uses it to push the case off and eject the stupid thing. So I took it to my PAL course, what was it, like a month ago or whatever, and I like put a dummy in it, pull back, and the dummy's just like staying on. Nope, staying on. <I'm> like, firing pin. So now I need to find another firing pin just to make that stupid thing operable again. And I got a Winchester Wildcat as a PAL rifle, and it is great. It is fantastic as a PAL rifle. I'm going to get another one because it's so good. Everything's exactly, it's nice and light because I'm putting like 5 guns in a case. So the case is like super heavy afterwards. It's nice to use a little bit lighter of a gun. It locks open. It feeds well. The safety's easy to use. The magazine release, take your pick. It's got a couple of them on there. You know, it's just very easy to use. So I am, maybe I'll just order another one of those. Anywho, that's about it for me. What about you?
I got up to, well, I guess I wasn't on last week, but over the last couple weeks, there's actually been a fair bit. So a couple weekends ago, I went and shot a pistol match in Lubbock, and it started off good. You know, in the first 3 stages, went good, was really happy with it. And then, of course, the next 3 stages kind of went to crap. Started taking some mics and that, so yeah, wasn't great. And, of course, one of them was classifier.
So you didn't get out of the D's yet, hey?
No. That's going to be a long time coming, I think.
That's so funny.
And another thing. So Crystal was shooting good. She was, she was shooting good. And then she kept saying, like, I can't get my dot. And she ended up just giving up in the middle of the stage. Like, she can't find a dot. I said, okay, well, is it that you can't find your dot or it went out on you? I said, I don't know. So she was looking around and she found a piece of glass and was asking around. Then she decided to check her pistol. And with her pistol.
Oh, that's your carry handle now.
Yeah. So her dot on her pistol is now a carry handle because it has no glass in it.
Bushnell.
So
which dot is that?
That is, it's the RXS 100. So
never
it's,
heard of it.
It's $110 US dot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so today I'm catching up on stuff because almost right after Lubbock, I was packing up, getting ready to head out of town for Phoenix, but sent an email saying, hey, I need to get this warrantied. To answer Tony here, he's saying, how is it not a loophole? Actually, I have to send my Delta Point Pro back because it likes to shut off after about 5-10 minutes and a lot sooner than it should.
Mm-hmm.
But also, with being down in the U.S., my formal relationship with Korth, it doesn't make sense. We all kind of decided that it, you know, Canadian distributor in the U.S. So like, they're still, I'm still friends with them. I still like their stuff, but yeah. So I officially do not represent Leupold. So which did actually open me up to really check out other stuff. So we got Roswell this weekend. So I actually have on my Zev, I have the EOTech EFLX that I think I will throw on the Canic for her to shoot this weekend if we decide to go shoot.
Oh, that's fancy sounding.
So I picked that up Black Friday sale, I think $300 or $400. And so far I like it. Like, it's got, turn it on and then it'll just shut off, auto shut off. Or then you can turn it on and have it shake awake.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like, think, just leaving it on and shake awake.
And I think it's a 6 MOA dot. Yeah. 6 MOA dot. So yeah, she'll, if we go to Roswell, she'll shoot that one. Now, so Tuesday I drove to Phoenix for Superstition Mountain, and it was a good drive. Got there in good time to hang out with the guys and whatnot. Warranty. Oh yeah, Bushnell, it should be under warranty. Leupold should fix the dot too. I read that the Leupold was a common thing. I don't know why, but yeah. So Wednesday we were basically shopping, building guns for the guys and everything. I did take the guys into Timney, so all their housemates that came down from Canada went and did a tour around Timney and actually checked out their new AK trigger. Wow. You think like gritty mil spec like your SKS trigger or something like that, and then you put like a competition trigger in that. That was crazy. So now I have to buy an AK.
How'd you not think you had to before?
Well, because I didn't have a trigger for it. Now with having that trigger, it's like, oh, I can have something good and have a good, I can build up an AK and have that good Timney trigger in there.
Did you buy the trigger first and now you're going to buy an AK?
No. Once I get the AK, I will write an email to Timney and say, I have one now.
Pretty please. Put one of them fancy ass triggers in the mail for me.
Yeah. Now I'm getting the grief for not buying an 8K yet.
And a foul.
Yeah. I did talk to some guys, so I'm either going to be looking at like a Galil or Zustava or an Arsenal. The Arsenal was actually, it's actually a milled receiver with pins, not stamped. It's not a stamped receiver with rivets. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the Galils that closely to tell, but yeah, so there, we'll see, hopefully soon. That's just another pit to fall into, trying to build a race AK.
Well, maybe just don't build a race AK, maybe just build an AK without the race part.
Yeah. But definitely getting some grief for not having an AK yet. After that, Thursday we went walk stages, sighted in guns, everything. And then Thursday night we went to Ben Avery, the Cactus Tactical guys there. They put on a match, like a little pistol match every Thursday night. And so, yeah, we all went and shot that. And I shot my best pistol match I've ever shot. Like, hands down, it was my best pistol match I ever shot. I think I was 12th overall out of 106 shooters and second in limited.
Wow.
At 93%. So 93% to a major limited shooter, and I'm shooting minor. Which, that's how I lost first, was because I just, every Charlie I shot was, because I shot more alphas, less Charlies than him. The guy in first shot did a mic and a no shoot. I didn't have any mics or no shoots, but because of every Charlie that I shot that wasn't an alpha, every Charlie I was losing a point on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was rather encouraging. It was a good way to enter the weekend, and yes, up there surrounded by masters. So yeah, I posted on the Discord and everything. Cause yeah, I was pretty stoked after that. But then we got up early Friday morning and we were starting Superstition first thing, like the gate opened at 6:15 and we were shooting morning squads in the rain. So this is the first time that it's rained for this match for me since I started going to it. Started off, it was okay. They really ramped up the difficulty this year. Yeah, holy cow. A lot of long range, like a lot of targets past 300-400 yards. They even had one out to 620 yards.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Love it.
Yeah. Where the last few years they barely gotten past 300. So yeah.
That's a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Some good things. My stage plans. I feel like I made good stage plans, and I don't think a single stage plan was a bad one or a really advantageous stage plan. Mm-hmm. I think they were very efficient and very close to like what would be a good stage plan. I had a number of issues. I would say mainly my long range. My long range was a huge killer for me. Another one that really killed me was my shotgun started malfunctioning. My auto lifter would like catch halfway up and wouldn't load a shell. And so that cost me a bit of time on a few stages and dicking with that.
I've heard that about those auto lifters. I've heard from a couple people that, yeah, they took theirs out of their gun.
Yeah, I'm really debating it, but I think it's a spring, and found out that Jay Kenny says they want you to change the spring in there every 6 to 12 months. I've had that for, well, since pre-ban, and I've never changed it. So
has it been running the whole time really well, though?
It's been like up until this match, I would say like I was having like mag tube issues, which, you know, Briley Spring says they say 6 months if it's left in the gun. So I was thinking that was some issues and it would get better, but it's been kind of like 95% is what I was reading it. And then this match, it was not 95%. And, yeah. So I do have a spare spring here.
A major match, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the shotgun work alone didn't cost. The long range really hurt. Like, just I spent a bit of time trying to find some targets, and then yeah, just being able to hit targets. So I'm gonna be spending some time at the range practicing that more, because that is a major failing for me. Like inside of 300. I'm good. All the targets that were inside of 300, I did fine on. It was just everything beyond that.
Well, you sent over your stage 10, which is kind of like your best stage. That looked good. You're shooting standing there.
Yep. So stage 10. Yeah, that was my best stage of the match, which I ended up getting a sixth place finish on that stage in my division. And looking at it, like, I easily shave like 6-7. I could get that sub 82nd and would have been able to move that up a couple spaces. There was one stage I shot, which was a pistol rifle that, once again, the stage plan worked, or the execution of the stage plan wasn't exactly, but I was able to make it up and shot a really good time on it. Unfortunately, it was a short stage and I did take one FTN on the pistol portion. And at first I was like, oh, okay, one FTN. Yeah, sure. I'll take that. But then turns out, yeah, I sat down and thought about it. Short stage like that, that one FTN 5-second penalty cost me 10 places.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, that would have been an 8th place run, and it knocked me down to 17th on that stage. So yeah, like I did have some a few good runs, but then once again, like I got to get shooting clean. Like I had 110 seconds worth of penalties throughout the whole match. So, you know, I'd like to blame weather, but the weather was bad for a short portion of it. But I mean, it was just a combination of stuff, and I just got to get straight in the head. Still,
and the weather's bad for everyone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Overall, you know, with everything, I ended up finishing 25th out of 64 in tactical. So pretty much about where I finished last year. And then, yeah, it was overall 147 out of 383. So once again, looking at everything, if I clean up those few things, I will jump up in the standings quite significantly. So yeah, definitely got my stuff I got to work on and like get my shotgun running 100%. And then, yeah, definitely practice the long range, especially coming into the next couple matches here. A couple cool things. So our squad was basically, we had the Canadians, except for one, he ended up having, because he was a late entry, he had to squad on a different squad. Californians and one Texan. So we basically dubbed ourselves the gun control squad.
Gun control squad.
Yeah.
You needed a New Yorker on there.
Yeah.
Round it out.
Yeah, no doubt. What else here? Oh, yeah. I was playing around with my shotgun, trying to clean up there the one night, and my nice, beautiful Damascus charging handle. I could not get it, pull it out. We tried putting pliers on it. I had to grab a flat blade and actually start prying it out of the shotgun. And like it's got some nice marks on there where the bolt is literally dented into the stem. And then the stem itself is bent. And luckily,
you know, why was it just seized in there, or
I think just through use, because I looked at, if you pulled the your handle out and look at that bolt when it comes in and out of the receiver, there's the bottom part of the bolt that does contact your charging handle on extraction. I think this was just such a soft metal that with doing that yeah, it's not as hard as other charging handles out there. So yeah, that was unfortunate because I really liked this charging handle, but I've gone back to a Terran one because that's what we had on hand. And I pulled interesting thing off the table. I ended up pulling a certificate for Desert Tech, the Quattro 15 lower, which is the lower, which mates up to their quad mag 53. So it's a quad stack 53 round mag. So they had to make the mag, your mag well, wider to fit that mag.
What am I looking at? So it's a lower that fits giant magazines.
Yeah, but it does come with an adapter for normal mags.
Huh.
Yeah.
That thing's wild.
So like I saw it and shot and been hearing about it. Yeah, it's interesting. I wasn't going to spend money on it myself, so I saw that on the table. Pretty much all the other guns were gone, so I was like, yeah, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the guys at the house had picked up an upper off the table and decided to give it to me since he couldn't bring it back. And so I think I'm going to make a total ridiculous build out of that because the upper is an A1 charging or carry handle style upper.
Oh.
So I'm going to do the A1 front post and carry handle on a Quattro 15.
Well, you won't run out of ammo with it.
No. I'll still have more when I put in my D60 and my normal gun, but... Yeah. Speaking of shotguns, I did pick up a new handguard for it. Something I've been eyeing up for a few years now. But just because of price and... everything. I didn't go for it, but Briley was at the match and I got peer pressured into buying it. So I got the Briley M-Lock Handguard, the long one.
Oh, that looks dope. Oh.
For my Benelli.
That looks cool.
And when they actually put it out, like they're developing a vent rib 45 degree sight that'll just bolt right onto there. So I'll get that put on there. And I like the handguard. It took me a while, but yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a few other purchases. Bought some novelty mags. So for the weebs out there, there's that one. Here's my tax stamp.
Oh, that was yours. I thought you were just taking pictures of some.
No, I actually picked these up, and then there's this one. It's not illegal. It's just undocumented. So, yeah. And we stopped, where I've been getting most of my ammo, True Shot, I actually stopped in there, and they had these Savior bags on for $5. You're muted.
I said killer. That's a great price.
So like in one of these, I got over 500 pistol rounds, a ton of rifle, and in two bags, I can get 125 rounds. So a lot nicer than carrying around ammo cans, and you easily got your match ammo. And, I picked up a new action camera as well. Tried it out at the match. It was good. So I picked up one of the Insta360s Go 3s. Mm-hmm. And, worked out pretty good. And worked out in the Jeep pretty good. The mic in this thing is incredible. You don't really tell from, like, shooting videos, but we took a day to go off-roading, and I was watching some of the video I just put it up on the dash. And I had the stereo turned up in there, and I put it on the stereo in my studio, and it's like I'm playing the song. Actually, it's better. It's louder than what Spotify plays on my computer. And yeah, sounds good. And yeah, so far I like the footage that come out of it. Craig and I on Wednesday, we got an email we got into Texas 3-Gun Championship for middle of April. So that'll be the next big match, and one that I definitely got my long range dialed in for.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one is all open terrain and they like their distance. And like I said, possibly go do Roswell on Saturday. And then I actually entered for my elk and deer draws today because the draws closed at 5:00 today. So,
For your area?
Yeah. Yeah. For New Mexico. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're still good till June.
I don't know. I missed them last year. I'm not going to miss them again.
Overall good match. Disappointed in my performance, but still some pluses to bring away from there. And pretty much that's it for me.
Cool.
So we'll get into upcoming events. And I got one in here. The Peace River MP3G dates are out. So that's for the Mighty Peace 3-Gun. And they're in Peace River, they're going to have a match on May 11th, June 22nd, July 27th, 28th, which is Steve-O's retirement match. And then September 28th.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Well, retirement from working, not retirement from matches.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he was saying last year he was thinking about retiring from matches.
He's been saying that for like 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't look credible when he said it when I was there.
Yeah. And then September 28th, 29th is the team match. So, and they don't do practice score. You get onto the Mighty Peace 3-Gun Facebook page And really the Peace River matches is just show up in the morning before 9:30 because they do safety brief at 9:30. If you show up after that, you don't shoot.
You just stay at the range and, you know, have some fun.
Exactly. Then we'll get into the news, and 223 is getting harder to find.
That is in the news.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yep. And that's pretty much all the news that we have for this week. And so we will go right into New Gun Stuff. New Gun Stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. They have free shipping over $250, some exclusions apply, and they also have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Go to the website, subscribe to their newsletter for access to the hottest deals.
But don't share the URL on Facebook or we're going to get zucked again.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
I got zucked for that, and I got zucked for someone's... on my pictures of the Savage 99, they're like, oh, are those cheap? What do those go for these days? I'm like, anywhere between $500 and $700. Zucked. That's firearm sales. Like, no, it's not. Anywho.
Now I'm being told to check Discord.
Discord.
Yeah, Tony added a bunch of BTSA matches. They're all on Practice Score, Buffalo Target Shooters Association. So... you go there, you'll see all their upcoming matches. They got USPSA nights. I believe in end of April they have a rifle match, like an IPSC style rifle match. So that'll be fun.
If I have a rifle that runs.
Yeah.
It's not a guarantee.
So yeah, you can go check out there for everything going on down there. Now, new gun stuff. You want to go through these?
Yeah, I got them up here. You talked about some of them, so I'll show them and you talk.
Okay, so when I went through there, I thought this was kind of cool, especially considering I live in a small space now. But they have Frankfurt Arsenal Platinum Series reloading stands for $204, but the sale ends tonight. But it's $240 regular, and looks kind of cool. The side tables fold down, and then you got almost like keyboard style stands for your feet, and it folds up. And I'm not going to test how well it works, but it looks like it would actually work pretty good.
Looks like it would fold down pretty nice and tight.
Yeah,
get out of the way. Cool. Yeah.
And Bullseye also has 15% off all their Wheeler gunsmithing tools, and I believe that one is, they are on sale till March 27th.
$79.
Yeah, so Bullseye still has the Gen X mags, but Range View Sports has the Campro Gen X mags on for $79.99.
That's a great deal if you're local. If you buy those online,
you're probably shipping. Their
shipping is always a little bit expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But $79 is incredible. What do we got here?
So Range View Sports also, they have the Radian Weapons Afterburner and Ramjet Combo Barrel and Compensator for Glock 19 Gen 4. They are selling that pack for $722.83. And it's not threaded. So the barrel is cut out and then the comp goes on with a wedge pin, which centers it. Everything's pretty interesting.
Yep. That's interesting. All right. Pretty funky.
Yeah.
If you want something funky, that's great.
Yeah.
If you just want a barrel.
And I'd say it's the length of your thread. So maybe half, 3/4 of an inch past your slide is what this sticks out.
Neat.
Yeah. And next up, Landero Sports has their Wiley X glasses on for 40% off. So that's Landero, L-O-N-D-E-R-O. I hadn't heard of them before, but
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. Phallus, Wily X, I want to see, is that it? That must be it.
I think they have about a dozen models of glasses.
Sabers, safety glasses, Klein gunmetal, crimson mirror. They've got a couple on there. Neat. Solly Outdoors has a cheap Stevens 320 security thumb hole cylinder bore. I have one. I use it for a PAL course gun. I have one in 20 gauge.
Hmm.
Yep. $229. That is very reasonable. And you're saying the 223 is running out. Their sweet deal with 855 ran out. I was mentioning to some of the three gun guys and they started buying. I'm not saying I sold them out, but I helped.
You did your part.
I did my part. I kind of wanted, like, I don't want the M855 for three gun matches. I just kind of wanted to have some just to have it. Not 1,000 rounds, but
yeah.
I kind of want to get some. Well, I already have some 223. I'm just going to keep using the stuff I have and just hang on for cheaper prices and better days.
Yeah.
Take me through. Take me through.
Cool.
Anyways, that's all the stuff I could find.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't really have a main topic tonight because I figured I was going to be taking up a fair bit of time talking about my last little bit, my match here. No. Actually, I forgot I was going to show that picture during that, but here's one. If you're getting a house for shooting and you have a group of guys, size of the kitchen table is really important. Because we were drying out our guns after the first day because it was rain and it was just.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
I thought it was them off.
We might add it a couple more to help the pitcher, but no, it was quite a few guns sitting there drying out from getting rained on. And another one, even though you may not like lens caps, know where they're at and bring them to the range. The first stage, I thought I left lens caps at the house because I hate shooting with them. And so the first stage, I couldn't see when I went down to all my scope, wiped the rain off, and I was able to get through it. And then before the next long range stage, I was like, oh, actually, I think maybe. And I reached in my bag, and yeah, sure enough, there's the lens caps. And then I forgot to flip them up once I grabbed my rifle. So
I don't deal with these problems with a red dot because even if the thing was completely occluded, I just shoot both eyes open and it's enough.
One of the guys shooting on the Thursday night, he was shooting carry optics. He might have been shooting actually limited optics with an occluded dot.
On his pistol?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, to force that target focus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was quick.
Cool.
But we will we'll go into listener feedback. And you want to take this email from Tony?
Yeah, you bet I do. From Tony. Good evening, Slamfire crew. Short and maybe sweet. Strikes twice because see attached. And attached was a photo of his rim on his vehicle. And it looked not happy. Looked a little bit dented. To everyone's surprise, Kodiak did not respond yet. I guess I would have to keep waiting. I shot my progressive 9mm reloads on the clock and didn't blow up, so that's something.
Cool.
Tony will bring you the cost analysis for his next reloading journey next time. By the way, your Android phone may show the Canadian Firearms Program as Girl Guides of Canada. Remember to pick up your phone calls. I've requested to have that changed. Tony, that was on purpose. The Alberta CFO office was able to process the lending request quickly and issued an ATT via email. Question to hosts, is a hard copy short-term ATT required? That's all for today. Thanks and good night.
I would recommend printing it out. Yeah. Like a cop will accept on your phone, but others won't.
on your way out to Sybold Flats or something like that. And it's like, oh yeah, I have an ATT for, oh, it's on my, oh, I can't get the internet here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd have, yeah.
Okay. I'll just take your handgun for now. And yeah, you can come down to the station later, dig it out of the stinky locker. I have it like sitting in the bottom of, all dented and dinged. And once you give me the ATT, you can have your gun back or print it out. I just print mine out. Yeah.
Yep.
Easier to print it out and throw it in some godforsaken bin and not have to look for it, right?
Yeah. Keep it with your registration certificate.
Yeah. And as for Kodiak not responding, yeah.
That sounds par for the course.
Well, no, they used to be better for responses, but I haven't heard great things. And same thing for Lockhart Tactical. That's some people have been commenting on my video like, oh, it's taken a really long time. I ordered something like a month ago and I haven't even got a shipping notice. It's like, yeah, that's par for the course. And they're like, oh, they're suffering from success. It's like, no, they were like that before too. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for that email. And we'll get into the YouTube comments. First one is from Justin B. on Adriel's first look at the Bren 2 MS converted for Canada. Says, dude, that extended barrel looks terrible. Yep.
But it's non-restricted.
Yeah. Yep. And then the next comments are from Eddie on last week's show. Said, hey, where's Tony? He hasn't commented yet. And Mo, 5 stand is fun, but I prefer sporting clays. Be careful about the clay sports. They can be addictive and expensive. And then Adriel, that CIL ammo is probably a collector's item. You might be able to cash in on that.
Probably is. Hmm? Now, who's going to buy it? I don't know. You have to get to like, maybe if you took it to a gun show or something like that, maybe that's the kind of person to buy it.
Yep. And then he's got a comment for Kelly. He said, there's now a Wildcat with a wood stock. Do you feel better about it as a maple seed rifle?
No. It's just there with wood or synthetic.
Yeah. We got a list from Cabela's or Brownells or
not this week. That'll be on the April 1st of April show.
Oh, okay.
We don't have an April 1st show this year. Hmm. That's too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we do have affiliate links for Brownells or Cabela's, and you can go to slamfireradio.com, and right in the side banner has those links. And if you click on that, we'll get a little bit of a kickback from your order, and it doesn't cost you anything more. And yeah, once a month, we'll go through all the purchases and anonymously read them out and either congratulate you or shame you on them. We've been actually having some pretty good purchases on there.
Yeah. I think for the most part, other than the Walker razors.
Yeah.
The Walker razors are on sale at Cabela's right now, but don't buy them.
Yeah. If you want to send show an email, you can send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com and we will read it online. You can also find us on Player and Patreon. And we also have Discord, and there was some stuff. So I was posting some stuff about the week goings on. And yeah, there was some weird conversation going on earlier this week, but that's very minimal.
Posting some photos too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly even stopped in to say hi. So, you know, might be a chance of finding her on there. Or we can just start a whole Wildcat conversation and maybe then she'll come in and start raging on us.
You know, all you need to do is like ping her in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just ping her. before the show, Adriel and I were talking. I think we're going to do another stage breakdown show. And what do you think? Like Saturday night? Or is that what we're thinking?
Sure. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. So Saturday night, say 8:00. 8:00 Mountain Time.
Yeah. Just remind me.
Yeah.
So I don't forget about it.
Okay. So yeah. Should we contact a special guest or no?
I don't know.
Just had expressed interest before.
Up to you.
Okay. We'll talk after the show anyways. But yeah, so there we go. 8 o'clock on Saturday, Adriel and I will go live, and I have Lubbock video, Superstition Mountain video, and possibly Roswell video. Adriel's got a couple matches there too to go through. Mm-hmm. So yeah, should be another fun night tearing apart our stages.
Just talking shit and watching range footage.
Yep. Yeah, that'll be either on, well, that'll be both on Adriel's YouTube channel and then my, Adriel's YouTube channel. So Hunting Gear Guy, if you don't know what that is. And then on Lunatic Tactical on Twitch.
We should schedule it now so that we've got it.
Yeah.
Handy. Yeah.
Sounds good. But with that, we are going to get ready to sign out. So do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, just for how many people came out for the three gun build and cleanup. Lots of times I go out there and there's like four or five people to trying to do. We have a lot of props and we rebuilt some bases to act as target bases, adjustable target bases. And we got through 50 of them. And trying to do that with like four people would have been, and doing all the other things we're doing, clean up the admin boxes. We re-sorted and inventoried all the steel. We couldn't have done that with a short number of people, but I think we had like a dozen. So thank you to everyone who came out and helped, because it made it very quick to get through.
Awesome. And I'm going to shout out the awesome squad and housemates. So the Canadians who made the trip down, made the trip really fun. And yeah, the rest of the squad. And these staff at Superstition Mountain for putting on, once again, a memorable match and really challenging us this year, because they, like I said, they definitely cranked it up this year. And then for my brother, who came out the whole weekend to film all my stages for me. So, yeah.
I want a film guy. I never get a film guy. I just get like other people in the squad to film me. I've never had like a dedicated recording guy, cameraman.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's not going to be an all the time thing. He just happens to live in the area now.
Handy.
Yeah. But yeah, with that, we are going to sign off. So join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Player, and Twitch as well. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week. Good night. Later, everyone.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.